make some noise.
It's 10 o'clock and time for us to make some history. Kind of. It's the pairing of two men, each with their own individual take on the Atlanta sports scene.
I'll take that.
For the next 4 hours, enjoy what we hope will be a great pairing of sports talk juggernauts. Well, that's what we're hoping for, at least.
Wow, you're handsome.
Durr.
Now, it's Andy and Randy. Andy Bunker.
I'm a first place individual.
And Randy McMichael.
You are that.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah. Good morning and welcome in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy here with you for 4 hours, not two. I don't know why I said that.
I was hoping you knew something I didn't know.
Yeah, no, unfortunately. Unfortunately, I do not. But you know what? It's going to be a fun 4 hours as well.
Sure is.
On the midday show with Andy and Randy. My name's Andy Bunker. That's Randy McMichael. And we're with you till 2 o'clock this afternoon. And I know tomorrow we're going to be in Athens. We'll be at Grindhouse Killer Burgers in Athens from 10 to 2. Come by, say hello if you're going to be out there getting ready for the football game. I'm pretty ready. Like, I'm pretty ready for it. I know we have to wait till Saturday night at 8 o'clock. Right. But we've been talking about this game, Randy.
For a long time.
For like a year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this game has been circled for such a long time. And then obviously, you know, you got to get through the first 3 weeks of the season. They went exactly the way that you thought they'd go for Georgia. Georgia comes into this game. And we talked to Aaron Murray yesterday about the game on Saturday, just kind of about Georgia in general. And they kind of have flown under the radar.
Yeah.
Like, Jake Fromm has fallen off the Heisman conversations because they haven't done a ton. They haven't let him throw the ball that much, which is pretty predictable. And Alabama's done this, and Clemson's done that, and LSU has elevated themselves, and Justin Fields at Ohio. Like, there's been a lot of, and Jalen Hurts at Oklahoma. There's been a lot of different things that have been headline-worthy early on in the college football season. Georgia just doing their business, doing what they needed to do, hanging out, and finally on Saturday night they get right back in the national spotlight.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a fun game. And again, I mean, that the atmosphere in Athens this weekend is going to be electric, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. And, of course, we're excited that all of us are going there. Wendy and Brian are going to be up there with us tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun. As always, Johnny over at Grindhouse always takes care of us, and we always appreciate him letting us use his spot. But, yeah, I mean, this is the game where – you know, Georgia can show the nation what they're all about. I know that Aaron says they're talking about DeAndre Swift, one of the best players in America. You get to see him on display. Just hang on to the ball.
Yep.
And when you look at this Notre Dame, I'm with Hugh a little bit because, I mean, all the money is going on Georgia. And the one thing I know about – I don't know, but the one thing I figure about this Notre Dame squad and Ian Book, their moment's not going to be too big for them. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to be too big. Now, they have not fared well in these type of games in the past. But it's not going to be too big for them to come into Athens and play a football game. It's going to be about execution. I just think Georgia's a better football team.
Right, and that's a big differential. I think that's an important thing to highlight because a lot of times you come out of games like this, or like even last year when Clemson beat Notre Dame the way that they did in the college football playoff, and people say, see, Notre Dame's not ready for the bright lights. No, they just got beat by a significantly better football team.
Like,
those are not the same thing.
Right.
Like just getting physically manhandled and beaten down by a team that's significantly better than you isn't the same thing as getting out there and getting scared and getting tight. Because, I mean, did Alabama get scared in the national championship game?
No, they got beat
by a better football team. Like, that's the way that it's gone. And I think that that's been true for Notre Dame in these big games a lot over the last however many years you want to count.
Right.
The 2012 national championship game. Like, whatever game you want to talk about that Notre Dame has showed up and gotten boat raced, it's not because Notre Dame gets out there and
they're fearful.
Notre Dame plays in front of 100,000 people every single home game. They're on national TV every single game. Like, if you go to Notre Dame to play football, you're pretty familiar after playing a season or two, which a lot of the guys on this team have, with being in front of large crowds and being in big games.
Right.
Like, every big game for Notre Dame is a big – every game for Notre Dame generally is – look at their schedule.
It's a big game for them, and it's a big game for their opponent because of that brand.
Absolutely.
I mean, even when Notre Dame was struggling, I mean, it was still just that brand, that name of Notre Dame that – you know what? You always got up for it. Everybody wants to play Notre Dame because, you know, when you look at different fan bases or whatever, you can be kind of hit or miss or something. If you're not a Notre Dame grad, everybody hates Notre Dame.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody, because they're just that program that, you know, they're always seem to be overprivileged. You know, why is it that if they go undefeated that they get automatically earned the right to go to the, you know, the college football playoffs? Because they're Notre Dame. And that's what we always say, because it's Notre Dame. Maybe they weren't one of the four best teams last year, but they were undefeated, and they were Notre Dame.
What everybody grew up with, no matter where you grew up, but we got people on this show who we're from all over the place from where we come from growing up. Everybody knew a Notre Dame fan or had a family member who, for whatever reason, was a Notre Dame fan. My dad's whole side of the family is Irish Catholic.
Uh-huh.
You don't think there's some Notre Dame fans on that side
yeah.
of the family?
We grew up, yeah. people,
everybody's talking about all the history and all that. And it's true. There is a lot of history. They've got 11 national championships, none since 1987, but mm-hmm. it had been a while since they won one. They got all the Heisman Trophy winners, well, none for a while back. Mm-hmm. But the history exists,
yeah.
and the aura of Notre Dame exists, and sort of the folklore of Notre Dame, which is what's so fun about this football game. Because honestly, like on the field on Saturday night, if it was a team as talented as Notre Dame is with another helmet on and another jersey on,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't get this type of
hype. Oh, no, of course not.
Because the talent that's on that Notre Dame sideline, it's a fine team.
Yeah.
I think that they're going to be a good football team. They'll probably win 10 games this year, but they don't stack up to Georgia.
No, they don't stack
in
up.
In terms of talent.
No, they don't stack up man for man. But, again, these are the games that whenever you have an opportunity to impose your will, you do that. You don't wait back and sit. You don't sit back and wait for them to see what they're going to do. You don't react to them. You know what I'm saying? You got to go and go get them because – I said it yesterday, and I'll probably tweet about it. If you let a team that you're better than hang around, they'll beat you.
Mm-hmm.
They'll beat you, and they'll find a way to beat you. Your DB will fall down, or you know, something crazy will happen, and you end up losing that game. And Georgia does not need to put themselves in that kind of situation, knowing that they're a better team on the football field.
Yeah, the longer you allow a team like that to hang with you, the more possible you make it for a miracle to happen.
Especially a team with a veteran quarterback.
Like, don't allow a miracle to decide the football game on Saturday night between Georgia and Notre Dame, because that's probably not going to go your way. If the football game is just decided simply by who's better, Georgia might win by a whole bunch of points, which is I do want to get your opinion of this, because we had Aaron Murray on yesterday. I heard John Fricke driving in using curb stomp and boat race and all kinds of different terminology about what Notre Dame's going to do or what Georgia's going to do to Notre Dame. We're going to play David Pollack a little bit later. We're going to have Dennis Dodd on in the 11 o'clock hour. All these voices of college football, everyone's sort of leaning the same way. Here's what Aaron Murray said that Georgia was going to do to Notre Dame yesterday.
I think Georgia's going to absolutely wax Notre Dame up and down the field. And it's going to be a 10-point plus game.
And I agree with him. But as a Georgia football player, as a Georgia fan, as one who supports this program and cares deeply, emotionally, about what happens on Saturday night, does all this public leaning make you uncomfortable at all?
No. No, because I feel the same way they do. But at the same time, I just, you know, I'll just sit back and wait, you know, because we can do all the talk we want to. And sometimes whenever you do all that and all the pressure, I'm not necessarily pressure, all the, you know, the angst, the, you know, the waiting around all day for this game, you get there and you start changing your mind back and forth. Well, what if this happens? What if, you know
right.
what I'm saying? You start second guessing your damn self. I ain't going to play a snap. Whatever happens, I won't have a single solitary impact on anything that happens up there Saturday night. So that's why I always say I don't get worried. I don't get worried or angst about that.
Aren't you calling heads or tails or something?
Nah, man. I decided not to.
No, you're not doing that?
Yeah, I decided not to.
Okay. Yeah. Are you sure? I mean, like, because it is your fault Julio Teheran pitched bad last night.
Yeah, I know.
You're
I
aware
know.
Of that.
Yeah, it's all on me.
Okay. But it's only him. It's not the Georgia.
Yeah, it's all on me that he walked the bases loaded.
It is.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's all on me.
What if they lose the coin flip and you could have called heads?
I mean,
would you call heads or tails, by the way?
Tails.
Really?
Tails never fails.
Yeah, but it does, though.
It does. No. But you always call tails.
I just don't. Who calls tails?
I do.
Why?
I don't know.
Because it rhymes with fails?
I've always, whenever I've called. I've
always have?
Hmm?
And what was your record as a coin toss caller?
We always won because I was because we always deferred.
So it didn't matter anyway.
It didn't matter
anyway. It's funny, you don't even want to win the coin toss anyway because then you're just going to give the ball to the other team.
Yeah,
I don't know why teams do that in the NFL.
I don't
take
either.
The ball first. If you're an offensive identity football team
like
the Falcons,
ball, yeah.
Take the ball first, go down and score a touchdown. That's neither here nor there. I've got a number for you that – is not a happy number if you're a Notre Dame football fan, but I think speaks to why so many people are talking about Notre Dame's ability to show up in games like this.
Uh-huh.
But I also have some context for this number
uh-huh.
that I'll give afterwards. Since 1998, Notre Dame's record is 1-18 against
yep.
top 25 teams. That's insane.
Yeah.
Like, how is that even real? Like, just luck into a couple more than that in the last – that's 20 years, man.
Yeah.
How can you have that record over 20 years against top 25? You know how many top 25 wins Georgia had last year?
Four. Yeah.
Four. They've got four times as many last year than Notre Dame has had since 1998.
But there's the thing right there. I'm sure they know that.
Of course they do.
They know that. Again, they have no pressure on them. That's the thing that you worry about when you have a team like Notre Dame coming here. Ain't no pressure on Notre Dame. All the pressure's on Georgia. All the pressure's on Georgia to perform, because we're touted as a possible national champion, you know, contender. Not Notre Dame. Okay, we just say they can be number seven or whatever. Nobody thinks Notre Dame is a national champion representative or whatever you want to, but everybody looks at Georgia as that. The pressure's on Georgia to win this game. I mean, if Notre Dame wins, then of course that'll move them up. But sure, as far as the pressure, no, it's on Georgia.
No, I agree. I 100% agree. The interesting thing about that is, while Notre Dame hasn't won a lot of those games, or really any of those games, a lot of them have been closer than maybe they should have been over the last 10 years or so. Notre Dame, Clemson a few years ago, came down to a last-minute, I think, field goal.
Mm-hmm. That's a great game.
USC, those games tend to be close, even when USC has been really good. Look, the Georgia game 2 years ago. Obviously, mm-hmm, Georgia was significantly better than Notre Dame was by the end of that year. I know it was early, and, right, and early in seasons, you're not quite who you're going to be.
But
that game came down to a late field goal from Rodrigo Blankenship and then a strip sack.
Like, what a game.
Notre Dame has been in a lot of these games, mm-hmm, has been close in, mm-hmm, a lot of these games, but hasn't won a lot of these
Notre
games.
Notre Dame has no business being close in
these games. And I agree with that 100%.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I look at it as, is when you look, you know, Georgia, I just don't think they've held back a lot. I mean, they got 12 sacks already. They had 24 all last year.
Georgia.
Yes, Georgia. And we talked about it coming into the season, Andy. They get a lot of tackles for loss.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't get the quarterback on the ground. And they've done a great job of that now. I get the competition and all that. But, you know, I like to see the quarterback on the ground, because they're going to have to play pressure, because Georgia's going to probably lock up man-to-man. And, you know, and Tyson Campbell's out. I don't know if he's going to play in this game. He's one of their better corners. They got to get pressure, and they got the rushers to do it now. They got a rotation of outside guys that could get after the quarterback.
David Pollack said to Dukes and Bell yesterday, and we'll let you hear some of that interview later in the show, this is the best defense that Kirby has had.
Yeah.
And he highlighted that defensive line, saying they got 10 guys they're going to rotate through. They got guys that are going to be fresh all game long. Look, Ian Book is the make-or-break player for Notre Dame.
Yes.
If Ian Book has the game of his life, Notre Dame can stay close.
Yes.
If Ian Book has an average game, Notre Dame's going to get crushed. And if they get to Ian Book over and over and he has a bad game, this game might be over by halftime.
It's going to be ugly.
Interesting stuff, though, from Pollack. We'll let you hear from him as the show goes on. Coming up next, we'll get into what's trending. A lot went down last night. Braves played last night. A lot of the Falcons met with the media. And Atlanta United, what was Mike Conte talking about here?
How does he do it?
We'll try to figure out how he does it. Coming up next in What's Trending on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Locked up in the middle third. Vialba digs for it, wins it. Wrestle sending it up to Joseph, who backheels into traffic, then takes a touch inside the box. Another touch. Shot! Score! Golazo!
Oh, my goodness.
How does he do it? 2-0 Atlanta United.
You can hear Jason Longshore in the background, like, just trying to keep it together, as Mike Conte beautifully calls that goal there from Joseph Martinez. The second goal of the game, by the way, for Joseph Martinez.
That was so sick.
I think that's the best goal he's ever scored. Randy's choked up about it. I know.
Oh, dude.
I'm with you.
It was unbelievable. How he, like, heel flipped back to himself and then just shook two dudes out their draws.
Like
and then left footed it, dude.
Right, and then left footed. And then after it went in,
he just
walked away.
Yeah, this is what I do.
Like, just drop the mic and walk away.
He hit it with him. This is what I do.
Right. Exactly. Man, it is what he does.
Dude, that's one of the best goals I've ever seen. Individual goals I've ever seen in my life, dude. Just the way he just got beat. The first one wasn't bad. I mean, they showed a clip. It had 9 passes in 12 seconds in order to for him to score that goal. I mean, we needed that, because that was a boring game.
It was a tough
boring
game. Yeah.
I mean, since that, it's like, hey, everybody, we just going to play defense today.
Yep.
I mean, it was a boring, boring game.
But Atlanta United looked pretty content to let them do that, too. Like, usually when teams do that, Darlington Nagbe, or I know Barco wasn't in the game last night, will really be aggressive and maybe trying to attack them and put some pressure on them and maybe see if you can get them to crack. Atlanta United was like, all right, I mean, you guys could sit back there, and then when you try to counter off of that, then we're going to counter off of that, and we'll see if we can score a goal, which is exactly what they did on Joseph Martinez's first goal.
Right.
The craziest thing about his first goal, Randy, was, I mean, he basically did a 75-yard sprint.
But, you know, he started it.
I know.
Yeah, he started it. So I'm just like, dude. And Goods was great in that again. I thought that play by Remedy was unbelievable, mm-hmm, you know, hitting the ball out before it went in the goal. But, I mean, yeah, I was just like, okay, why are y'all playing at their pace? You know, I mean, we know that, you know, it's been a short week, but you're thinking they're coming off that loss against Columbus that they're just going to get ready and just go up there and bump Cincinnati. But give Cincinnati credit. They really just sat back there.
They did. And United kind of did what Jason Longshore told us that he thought that they should do yesterday, which is, you know, Cincinnati is going to play that way, but let them and kind of see if the game comes to you at any point. Because here's the thing. You got a game on Saturday against San Jose, and you got a stretch run in the remainder of the season where you got to try to be fresh. And right. I don't know if you're going to really go all out for the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. I know that it's still possible mathematically. You got to have some help.
Right.
You can't control your own destiny on that one, but you still could get the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. Look, you're right. Just from a spectator standpoint, watching the game, as you know, you got the Braves game on one channel, you going back over to the United game on the other channel, and I would sit there and watch the United game for 10 minutes on end and be like, damn, somebody do something.
Somebody do something.
And then Joseph Martinez did. That's his 15th consecutive game where he scored a goal. He got two of them. He continues to put his name in the MLS record books over and over and over again in a variety of different places. That record right now, which he broke his own record in terms of consecutive games. Is anybody ever going to break this one? Like, this one of those ones, the longer it goes, the more ridiculous it becomes, and it might never get broken.
The one thing about it, Andy, that's been so impressive, I've been more impressed with Joseph in his ball handling than ever. I mean, I didn't know he can do it like this. Because you really didn't see, the first couple of years, you didn't see him handle the rock like this. But, I mean, all you saw, he was going, he's just a savage around the ball, around the net. I'd never seen this before, man. And I was like, damn, Joseph, go ahead then.
That's a great point.
Go ahead then.
His playmaking ability has been featured a lot more in what DeBoer has been asking him to do. Versus in Tata's system was perfect
go
for
score.
Him. He just was a poacher and would just get goals whenever they were able to, whenever they fell to him. And he did a great job with that. Like, now he's doing it in different ways. He still might win the Golden Boot.
Yeah.
That's what's crazy about it. Is like in a different role slightly. He's still able to be that effective putting the ball in the back of the net. And that second goal, man, again,
it was
like,
sick.
You just can't say enough about it.
It was number one on the top 10
it should
morning.
Be. Remember when they used to do, like, at the end of the week, they'd vote for, like, which number one was the best number one?
Yeah.
That should be it.
I mean, that was sick, dude.
And it should keep going. Like, he did that little, like, kick your heel up behind you, like that guys do when they're kind of just
playing around when they're
out of it and playing around.
Yeah.
He did it seriously, made a perfect touch, went by two guys, and then finished it left foot. I don't know. Jose Martinez is ridiculous. Atlanta United wins last night.
Yeah, you know, fun in little stretches. You know, he's got to weather it and come out fighting tomorrow. And you know, it's not doesn't get any easier tomorrow either with the guy we're going to face.
Yeah.
Everybody want to hear that, Snick.
That's, well.
Y'all supposed to be putting foots in people.
What do you want him to say? That's basically the way it sounded last night.
Yeah, man.
Like, that was a perfect embodiment of the way that the Braves game went last night was how Brian Snicker sounded in that audio clip.
Yeah, three straight losses, Andy. Three straight losses. Right?
Yeah, they've lost three in a row.
But again, their magic number goes down, though.
It did. The magic number got smaller. The magic number is now two. Unfortunately, the Nationals don't play today, so the Braves can't clinch the division officially until Friday.
Yeah.
They got to beat Philly today to do it, though.
Why not?
And the frustrating thing about last night, look, this was going to happen eventually. If you're going to have a small lull or letdown or whatever, do it now before you get to the playoffs and have a lull. But they lost a series, Randy.
Yeah, man.
It's the first time they lost a series in the last 15.
Yep.
Joseph Martinez scored a goal in the last 15 straight games. The Braves had won 15 consecutive, or not lost, and they split some of them, but had not lost 15 consecutive series.
Yeah.
Longest streak in Major League Baseball this year. So, I mean, that's good. It's unfortunate the way they're playing right now, and we'll dig deeper into some of why they're playing the way that they're playing right now coming up in about 15 minutes and maybe one or two or three things that you'd really like to see happen before the playoffs come around. But they just kind of look.
They ready for this to be over.
Yeah.
That's how
they look kind of done with it.
Yeah, they're like, hey, man, come like, on, man. I mean, it really does. It looks like when I watched that game last night, I'm just like, okay, there's no energy from anybody. I mean, you just didn't see it. But again, I mean, they got such a comfortable lead that they can afford something like that. So they'll be all right.
What happened to Julio, man?
He did Julio stuff.
I know, but why?
Because he's Julio Trey Run.
Why didn't you?
Don't. Hey, once again, I'll put it on. Y'all can put it on me. I only got one bro last night.
Did you get broed?
Yeah, I got one bro last night, which was funny because I know he did it because of what I said.
Right.
Yeah, I mean.
Come on, bro.
Hey, but it's funny because I told you Bryce Harper, for some reason, Bryce, like, did Julio mess with his old lady back in the day?
He hit him with a pitch in his rookie season.
Oh.
And now Bryce is making him pay for it. Over and over and over
Goodness
and over again.
Gracious,
Chip Carey actually talked about that on the broadcast last night. Julio hit him with a pitch his rookie season, and then Bryce kind of looked at him, and then Julio came off the mound and was like, what do you want to do about it? And Bryce said, nothing today, Julio.
But yeah, he
revenge is a dish best served cold.
Yeah, he banged that ball up out of there, man. And then, you know, then he once that happened, he was shook. Then continues just to walk people. And then that dude come in. And he's like,
which guy?
And then you're like, even though he struck, he got out the inning.
He did a good job.
Yeah, hey. No, he didn't.
Luke Jackson did a – I mean, he walked the first batter.
If Brian McCann isn't behind that damn – there's like nine Luke's – I mean, that's just pass balls. If that's Tyler Flowers
– fair point.
Tyler Flowers back there, that did – but again, he did his job.
It's a fair point. So you said yesterday you don't want people coming on Twitter calling you bro when Julio doesn't pitch well.
No,
does anyone in life get to call you bro? Like, does anyone bro you?
No, it's not about the bro thing, because bro. It's just how they do it. Hey, bro. Hey, you know, in that frat boy tone. Hey, bro.
In the what boy?
The frat boy.
Oh,
tone.
The frat boy.
Hey, bro. Yeah, I know. Ain't your damn bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm cool. You know, I can deal with bro. What's up, bro?
Bruh.
But not the damn Randy. You guys not out there pitching well, bro.
What if Luke Jackson met you and called you bro?
I'd knock Luke ass out. Yeah.
I'm just checking.
Yeah, put hands on.
Offensive line and all the way across the board, both tackles, both guards, the center. They've got size. They've got the ability to pull and get out on the edge. And then one of the things we've certainly been impressed with Mac, you know, his vision, you know, to bounce it outside or, hey, here's the crease to go take it. And he's had some long, explosive runs. I think that was probably, you know, against the Chargers, you know, 60 or 65 yards where he didn't get caught. And so he was out running guys, you know, at the end where you had to be at, you know, going strong to finish. And he certainly did. So those are the things that we've been impressed by.
Dan Quinn talking about what the Colts do well. You start and spend a lot of time talking about their offensive line, rightfully so. Here's the thing about the Colts. All of the reasons why people were so high on the Colts coming into the season, most of them are still true. Andrew Luck's not on the team. That's a huge deal,
Yeah. Obviously.
Andrew Luck was very, very good last year when he was healthy. He retired. We all know the story. Jacoby Brissett's still pretty good. Like, it's not like they don't got Luke Falk back
exactly.
there.
Exactly.
Trevor Siemian, or name another guy who's starting in the NFL this week that probably shouldn't be.
Like yesterday, we talked about who's the best backup quarterback. I think it was an AMA question. If Andrew Luck was still there, Jacoby Brissett would have been the best backup quarterback. You know, I mean, he's a guy that a lot of people think highly of. They gave him an extension a couple months ago, you know, they found out he's going to be the starter. I mean, T.Y. Hilton's a good player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Marlon Mack can run the football.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, both of them are a little questionable. Eric Ebron, I mean, he's revived his career.
Well, one of our Falcons insiders yesterday was telling us about their young and upcoming defense and how excited he is about their young and upcoming defense. They've got Justin Houston. People forget. They went out and got Justin Houston this offseason.
Justin, and he's playing every down. He's a defensive end now, not an outside backer. When you look at Malik Hooker's unbelievable.
There's a lot of talent on this Colts team.
And they lost to my Chargers. They should have beat the Chargers.
If
you don't miss some kicks, they're going to beat the Chargers. Mm-hmm. They're 2-0. So, yeah, the Falcons, it ain't going to be no easy, you know, goal of it up there. They got some dudes up there, man.
That said, the Falcons need to win this game.
Yes.
You go on the road and they don't have Andrew Luck anymore again. I know they still have all that stuff that we just talked about. You win. Go up there and beat them. You're better than them. We'll break this down more thoroughly as the game or as the show goes along. NFL No Huddle in about half an hour and really dive into keys to the game tomorrow. I know we'll be in Athens tomorrow getting ready for UGA Notre Dame, but there'll be some time for some Falcons Colts keys to the game as well.
Kirby Smart and the Georgia program are synonymous with winning and being successful, and we're quite aware of that. We played them a couple years ago in a hard-fought game, which we came up short. So, again, we know the talent that they have.
Brian Kelly sounded like hanging out in the Boston bar on the south side of Boston there. I didn't realize he was as Massachusetts as he is listening to his press conference yesterday. UGA is a talented team. Thank you, Coach. Appreciate the insight.
Yeah.
Is Brian Kelly on the hot seat? Somebody asked me that yesterday.
Think so.
If they get blown out on Saturday night.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. I don't think so, especially after the run they had last year. That's what I'm saying. I think because of the run they had last year, I think they got them a couple more years.
Yeah, but you got to think about the way it ended last year, though,
too. It ended bad, but
ended ugly.
You still got to the playoffs.
And I said in the first segment, I got to amend this. I said they were 1-18 in top 25 matchups. 1-18 in top 5 matchups since 1998. Little bit different. Still not great. Georgia's a top 5 team.
Right.
Georgia has 2 top 5 wins in the last 2 seasons.
Yep.
So twice as many in the last 2 years as Notre Dame has in the last 20 years. Look, I honestly, with all the Urban Meyer rumblings, we know Urban Meyer's dream job is Notre Dame.
Yes.
If they get, as John Fricke put it, curb stomped on Saturday night in Athens, that narrative becomes very, very popular.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. But, Andy, you know what? We're getting ready for the Rock and Jock Celebrity Bowling Tournament benefiting the Travis Manion Foundation. It says Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs on September 25th. It's from 4 to 7. They're going to be celebrities with Brian Jordan, guys like that. It's a two-game bowling tournament with trophies and prizes. Plus, we'll have the post-tournament Atlanta United viewing party here on our Five Strikes. For ticket info, go to the events page at 99thegame.com.
You basically go to the page and sign up to be on bowling teams with us.
Yes.
If you want to be on Randy's team, you want to be on my team.
Y'all come hang out with the winner. And then, you know what, afterwards, I'll buy you a drink.
I'll show you my trophy if you want to be on my team.
No.
And we'll win another one as well. Coming up next, what do the Braves need to do before the playoffs get here? It's been a rough couple of days, especially for a few individuals. We'll get into that coming up next on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Game. From the Swats to the Springs, sitting up north to Sandy. I think I'm doper than any human can be. I'm rig rolling, wheel holding, eating candy while I'm listening to Randy and Andy.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The Midday Show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Thursday. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll get to an NFL no huddle. A bunch of stuff to talk about going on around the National Football League, including a Thursday night football game tonight. Not the sexiest matchup in the world, but hey.
I'm going to watch it.
It's NFL football. I'll be watching.
I'll be watching.
Yeah, exactly right. Dennis Dodd going to join us from CBS Sports, college football writer at 1120 as well as we continue to get ready for Georgia and Notre Dame on Saturday night. We'll get into some of the other stuff from around this weekend as well. Some other big games in college football coming up on Saturday. Going to spend some time right now, though, talking about these Atlanta Braves. So there's good news and there's bad news. The good news is the magic number got smaller because the Nationals lost, so that's good. The other good news is that they still maintain a giant lead in the division, and two is the magic number. You're close to clinching, and everything's fine. We know the Braves are going to the playoffs no matter what. It just kind of feels like all of the excitement and momentum and enthusiasm of maybe 3 weeks ago isn't there right now. Like, these guys seem like they're
ready
absolutely ready for the finish line, which is, I mean, honestly, I know that might rub some people the wrong way. I think it's fine. The baseball season's really, really long.
I don't think it's fine.
And if these, really?
No, I don't think it's fine.
So you're worried about them?
No, it's not necessarily worried. I ain't fine with you losing.
Right, I don't want them to lose.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, like, if they're ready for the end of the season and ready for the playoffs, I don't have that much of a problem with that.
Oh, I mean, I got a problem with it.
Because I'm in the same exact place.
Because y'all, of course, we are. I mean, we can't be as tired as they are, but do we have mental – how do you get mental fatigue from your team being good?
Because
you know, I mean, we like 3 years ago, I was mentally fatigued with this damn squad.
Sure.
I was like, can y'all hurry up and get this over with?
I don't think it's so much, like, mentally fatigue of the length of the season. I think it's – they just know where they're going, and they've been going there for such a long time, and there's no question about it now. I think they're just ready to be there. You know, like, you ever been on a long car ride when you're going on vacation or something?
Oh, yeah.
Like, the last 50 miles are the longest.
They're the longest.
And that's where they are right now.
Damn, you'd be like, God,
come on.
Checking the GPS.
I'm still excited to go there. Yeah, the Braves, exactly. Brian Gebhardt just said in my ear, the Braves are your four-year-old asking if they're there yet.
Ah,
are we there
good
yet?
Good point.
Are we there yet? No, we're not there. Bro, we're not there.
Bro.
Are we there yet?
How about you? Just leaving the house, and we're going to Destin.
Well, that's not good.
Oh, dude. We ain't even out the neighborhood yet. Hey, how much longer we got? Go to sleep. that's how much longer we got. Go to sleep. Right? And when you wake up, we still ain't going
to
be there.
Well, and it looks like the Braves kind of have gone to sleep. That's what they've done over the last few days. Unfortunately, they still got 9 more games to play. And there are things that I would like to see from them before the playoffs come around. The first thing – and I don't know if it's the most important thing, but it's the first thing that I'm thinking about right now because of the way that he's played recently, the way that he played last night, and how vital he was to the Braves' success in the middle of the summer, is I'd like to see Dansby Swanson become some semblance of what he looked like before he got hurt. And I'm not – he was on pace to hit 30 home runs, and he was could have been an all-star and all that stuff. I trying to be realistic, I don't think that's who we're going to get at any point this year. Maybe he needs an offseason to get right and the heel's still bothering him or whatever. But he looks totally lost up at the plate.
Mm-hmm.
He's batting 150 since he came back off the DL. No home runs. The power's not there whatsoever. And I don't know what's reasonable to expect from Dansby Swanson.
You need him.
But you got to have more than this.
Yes, you got it. You need him. And I see on the rundown it says, should they play him in the two-hole behind Ozzie? No. Behind Ronald? No. Ozzie's playing too well up there. You don't move him because of that. You just got to hope that Dansby figures it out because they need that bat. They need his bat because that's when they were so dynamic when he was raking and everything. I know he was in the two-hole when he was doing it, but at the same time, Ozzie, I don't think you can afford to move Ozzie right there you know, as good as your top four has been playing.
Yeah, Ozzie's got to be the second hitter when the playoffs are here. Yeah. I just wonder if, and I don't know if this would work or not, just a theory, maybe putting Dansby in a place where he's going to get more at-bats in the final nine games of the season is something that helps him.
So where do you put him at?
Up towards the top. You get some guys rest. You give Ronald a day or two off, and let Dansby bat there. You give Ozzie a day or two off, and you let him bat there.
I got you.
Okay. I'm not replacing him.
See, that's what I'm thinking. You're saying replacing him. No, if somebody's taking a break, yeah, you put him up there, and you allow him to get some more looks at pitches. But, yeah, of course, defensively, he's going to do his thing. We're not worried about that. But he has got to give you some offense. You got to have some offense from there because there are going to be some times where you're going to need him. You're going to need Cakes. You're going to need McCann or Flowers or somebody in one of these series to have a nice offensive night when one of your top four guys is not having it or two of your top four guys are not having it. You got to have somebody step up. And, again, Dansby was playing at such a high level. But he goes back to, you know, we're giving him a day off his foot, his heel.
Right, then he was gone for six weeks.
I mean, obviously it was something more serious than they thought it was. But they need him. They need that bat so bad.
They do?
Because Echevarria, what Javi says, man.
Echevarria.
The bat flip guy. Yeah. I mean, he's going to give you all the defense in the world, but you're going to get a lot of bat flips out of him.
No, you're not.
That's why he bat flips.
Although he's bat flipping more than Dansby is right now.
Yeah, because, you know, he's feeling himself.
He is. Well, he's better at the plate right now than Dansby is, unfortunately. Dansby's going to be in there, though. And look, I think you need Dansby to a certain extent, but I think that you can make up for Dansby. I just want Dansby to get back there because the more he gives you, the longer your lineup is and the more dangerous you are.
Right.
You're going to get great defense from him. I think you can make up for it. I don't think you can make up for it if Ronald Acuna continues. And I know he got two hits last night.
He did.
But the power hasn't quite been there the same way.
He's pressing.
It seems like he's pressing.
Yep.
Yeah, he's
trying. You talk about that they're trying to they're waiting for the season, can't wait for it. The four-year-old in the car, are we there yet? Ronald's there now. Because Ronald wants to get this 40-40 and be done with it because that was such a lazy play that he had yesterday in that field. Like, come on, man. You know, I know you're phenom, you're superstar and all that, but come on, man. We need you to, you know, rev that thing back up. And right now he's just in that lull, like, come on, can we help him get this thing over with? Because, I mean, he knows how big and how important a 40-40 season is. But I was joking yesterday. I said, what if he's stuck on 39-39?
Yeah.
How many people have had that?
Not many.
You know, that's a great honor, right?
It's a good honor.
You know, 39-39.
Yeah, I mean, pretty good. Doesn't quite have the same ring to it.
Right.
I don't think Jay-Z named his bars and clubs or anything after the 39-39 club. That was the 40-40. It's a little bit of a nicer ring to it.
Yeah.
That would be very disappointing, wouldn't it? I mean, look, still a great season.
Yeah, it was a great season.
I still think Ronald Acuna has a brilliant career ahead of him, but 39-39, I would be bummed out. 39-39, come on. One home run away. He's got nine games. He's got three stolen bases away. Come on. We can get there,
hopefully.
But he looks like a guy who, like you said, Randy, is there. Like, he's in the postseason. He's ready to be there at that point. It's amazing how pedestrian this Braves lineup becomes when Ronald Acuna isn't hitting for power. Freddie Freeman and Josh Donaldson, 0-for last night. Like, those guys, and this has been true for a while now, ever since Dansby got hurt and that back end of the lineup sort of slid a little bit, and Nick Markakis got hurt and all that. Like, if those top four guys aren't doing what they were doing in the month of August and early September, then this lineup gets stale very quickly.
It surely does.
Oh, by the way, Julio Teheran can't be a starter in the playoffs.
Oh, we already figured that out.
I think we know that. Okay, yeah. Julio Teheran can't start in the playoffs.
How about this? Andy joined 92.9 Game for the fourth annual Tailgate Fest. On Saturday, October 5th, from 11 to 5 at the Home Depot backyard. It's open to the public. You can enjoy the day. We have great activities. You can bring your whole family, including tailgate and a chili cook-off contest.
I love chili.
Enjoy music and some of the best food trucks in Atlanta and the game and games for all ages. Sign up your tailgate team now at the events page at 929game.com. I might do that.
I love the tailgate.
I might do that.
Are we allowed to grill?
Are we allowed?
We could have a show grilling competition.
Wendy's shaking her head.
Oh, we're not?
Obviously not.
Oh. Well, we can eat all the stuff that you cook. And that'll be great also. All right, we'll come back and get to an NFL no huddle, including Matt Ryan says they're close to what?
You know, for sure we're close.
To what, Matt? I want to know. We'll find out next when we get to an NFL no huddle. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.